So, Colonel Mike Derrick, I guess the first question I have is, one of your opponents, Matt Funicello of the Green Party, announced before these very microphones, and he has done it several times, that 9/11 was a big conspiracy and that the buildings were pre-wired and all like that. Do you have anything to say about that?
I think it's ludicrous. I think it offends anyone whose lives were dramatically changed by that. Over 3,000 people died on that day. It destroyed one downtown New York City. And I personally take offense at it because it's because of that event that we went to war in both Iraq and Afghanistan. You can draw that connection.
Was it a mistake to go to war in Iraq?
It was a mistake to go to a war in Iraq. And so the consequences of that day, which if he thinks it some sort of conspiracy theory can explain the events of that day, it's offensive to me. And it's offensive to all those people whose lives were lost and lives were altered and damaged by, the subsequent military actions.
If there are debates between you and Elise Stefanik, should he be allowed in them?
I don't know what the rules are up here, but if he's a force, polling, once the polling numbers come in and they're somewhat reliable, my sense is that he will become increasingly less of a force in this race as we move forward. Because it's interesting, I've met many people who voted for him in the last election cycle. I meet them in living rooms. I've probably been in 75 living rooms over the course of the last year, talking to people, not pre-screened, just people from the North Country who want to know who I am and what I think about. So I've met literally dozens of people who voted for Matt. And without exception, if someone sits through, however long we take, and at the end, they often come up to me and they say, listen, I'll vote for you. They look at me and say, hey, you take care of all the issues that I care about, and you can get elected. And Matt does not offer that.
Talk to me about domestic spying. What do you know about that, and what do we have to be careful about?
Right. I don't know much about it. It's not something I worked in the military, so I don't have any inside information that someone might expect. It was not my domain in the service. But it is, it's very clear that we face a dilemma in our society. There are real threats out there. There are real threats that can be delivered now to us at home through, for example, cyber warfare. We can be touched in places where we thought we were safe. And so our government has an obligation to provide as good a layer of security as it possibly can. And gathering information through electronic means is an important part of that. So it's a very difficult dilemma we face. We want safety and security in our country. We need safety and security in our country. But the fact that we have such a plugged-in, wired both economy now and much of our social communication is now plugged in and wired, it's a difficult dilemma as to how much convenience do we want from our device, which we know, in fact, can be just about any device anybody has, can be hacked, can be, altered if someone knows how to do it and has the will to do it. So it's a difficult, difficult thing.
I know you thought about education. You have to when you're running for Congress. In the beginning, the concept of Common Core, bringing everybody up to a common standard, was regarded as a good thing. And then, boy, whoosh. Everything changed, and now everybody's against Common Core because you got to teach the test and all those reasons. Where were you?
You may remember I taught at West Point for four years.
Indeed.
And and having raised four kids also, I have a good sense. They all went through public schools. I have a good sense of what education looks like across the broad spectrum. I think what we as a nation have done, be it with Common Core or the very aggressive assessment programs we now put upon our students, is what we have done is we've denied teachers time to teach. We've reduced the amount of contact time between teacher and student, and we've constrained teachers to teach to tests, as you mentioned a moment ago with Common Core. Whenever there's some sort of assessment and the teacher or the students or the school is evaluated by the results of that assessment, then there's this, you know, there's this imperative to teach to that test. And so that then takes away creativity from the teacher. It takes away the abilities of a teacher to treat different students in different ways. When I looked across a classroom, you quickly realized after the first couple weeks that different kids learn in different ways. Some are visual learners, some are experiential learners, some are auditory learners. And so now a teacher is jammed into this dilemma where they have to teach to a certain product, a certain delivery item, and it takes away their time, and it takes away their ability to apply their, you know, their whatever they bring as gifts to that classroom. So I think we're trying to innovate our way out of our education problem. I don't think that's the right answer. I think we ought to let teachers teach. I ought to think we ought to give them the time they need and make sure they have the training, make sure they have the support, make sure they're properly compensated so that teachers have the time and the will to teach our students.
I want to ask you about foreign policy for a moment. We only have a couple of minutes left, but most Americans aren't in love with our shelling out money for other societies and giving foreign aid. When I worked for a congressman, I was just reminding somebody in the 1960s, my job was to collate the answers we got for the annual questionnaire. And one of the questions was, do you think there should be some more same foreign aid, more foreign aid, or a lot more foreign aid? And people would circle it in red and write back, are you kidding? We don't want to give them any foreign aid. How do we deal with that? Do we have that responsibility of upholding an Israel or upholding an Egypt, which we give great amounts of money to?
It's very hard to answer that. You know, should we give foreign aid across the country? Yes, there are places we should be delivering foreign aid for a variety of reasons. So again, there's no easy answer here. There's no soundbite that's going to answer the foreign aid issue. The point is the United States has a global role. And we've assumed that since World War II in a very real and important way. And we've done it through economic policy. We've done it through military policy. We've done it through diplomacy. And, you know, as long as we as a nation want to continue to have that role in the world, and it's an important role because, you know, the way the world is structured today with the globalization of our markets and the globalization of many cultural influences is a result of much of our foreign policy over the last 60 years. So yes, foreign aid is an important part of that. Now, we'd have to go line by line through country by country, and there are perhaps some ones I disagree with.
Okay, very quickly, because we only have a minute.
Yeah.
Immigration, Donald Trump has been talking about limiting immigration, limiting Muslim entry into the country. Mm-hmm. You got a minute.
His approach is wrong. And the idea of building a wall in Mexico is crazy. The idea of limiting the access to our country for an entire religious or ethnic group is crazy because we are a nation of many different peoples. We are an immigrant nation. That is our heritage. That is our history. And so these are the kind of ideas which may appeal to some people in a soundbite, but they would cause chaos for us internationally and domestically. And oh, by the way, we have 12 million people who live in this country right now who are undocumented. And, you know, in most cases, they're contributing members of our society. And when you live in places like California and Texas and Colorado, like I have.
And in New York and in Massachusetts.
Right. But they're more obvious in those parts of our country. They are a contributing part of this society. We have to deal with immigration in a clear-headed way. We were headed in that direction, but then, again, the Congress lost its political will.
It's always great to have thoughts from people who really do think about policy. And Colonel Mike Garrick is one, a Democratic candidate in New York's 21st District. Mike, congratulations on deciding to make this run, and also good luck to you.
Well, thank you, Alan. Pleasure to be here.
The congressman has a standing invitation to be here on WAMC. And what's more, wouldn't it be fun to get some kind of a debate going right here on the radio station?